You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black Girl tea. My name's Lauren.
My name is McKean, and thank you guys for tuning into season
4?
Season 4.
No, it's been a lot of episodes. I understand the hesitancy.
Season 4, episode 3.
Yes. And welcome to all of our new listeners.
Yeah.
Recently, we blew up on TikTok over
the past week and a half.
Love to see it. You know, love that we can all bond over white women and their dirty white shoes.
No, but honestly, we just started doing TikTok. We shied away from it for a while.
We were scared.
I was like, dang, the first video to pop off is us, like, kind of
just coming for white women.
Justifiably.
It was warranted, especially in the context of the episode.
Yeah.
I think a few people were, you know, rightly so, just being like, oh, we shouldn't give white people this much credit. And true, we should not.
But, like, it wasn't even about them.
But it wasn't about them.
Black
women was, right.
Okay.
Truly,
so
truly.
Anyways,
but thank you for being here. It's just, I like how much this is starting to feel more like a community
yeah.
space.
Yeah. No, because for a while it was us, like, in the middle of coronavirus just talking to ourselves.
No, truly.
So.
And we've come such a long way, especially from that first season, recording on Zoom, now we're in person. I've just been very grateful, I think. Yeah, so.
Yeah, amen.
Happy.
Here we go.
Very true, but for today's episode, it's gonna be a real therapy session, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what we all need. McKean's working on her thesis and
trying to graduate. Life is happening at
so
weird
much,
rates for all of us.
So
we're gonna talk about processing emotions today and like all that goes into, you know, being vulnerable, being sensitive, like just sort of allowing ourselves to become emotionally intelligent as adults is a process.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, you're right. There's a lot that just goes into it, even thinking about our childhood, our upbringings, and being emotional and how we were taught to even think about our emotions, especially as, you know, young Black women in white environments, as we always talk about. But even with, like, our parents, or, like, I don't know what yours were like, but just, like, how emotions and vulnerability and sensitivity are treated in Black households, especially for women, and how it emotions represent differently in men, I think it's just a really interesting conversation to get into. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
A lot to talk about.
And we thought it would be a fun little segment to start this off with. I gave McKean a little bit of an astrology recap slightly. We've done some lessons.
I'm up to see.
She's downloaded an app. Two apps.
CoStar, and now I have
charts. I think it's really helpful if anyone is looking for a little teaser into astrology. It's very detailed, but I think if you just wanted some adjectives to learn more about, I don't know, emotions and astrology and zodiac and however you want to take it. But since we are getting into emotions and self-reflecting today, we wanted, I don't know, just talk about our charts and kind of ground ourselves as how emotional we are as people and delve into it. Do you want to go first or should I start off?
No,
let's start with McKean.
I'll go first because I'm doing some hand-holding, y'all.
Okay,
my sun is in Capricorn. I'm the first day of Capricorn. I know this matters. I'm a cusp.
You are a cusp.
Or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. So whatever that means.
Cool.
Sorry.
It's a Scorpio cusp, right?
Maybe.
No.
It
I don't know.
It could be anything.
We'll see.
My moon is in Cancer. And my rising?
Ascendant and rising are the same thing.
My ascendant rising is in Gemini.
Okay. And for my chart, my big three, so my sun is in Cancer, my moon is in Aquarius, and my rising is in Leo.
Oh my god, so, you did not say that your rising was in Leo.
My rising is in Leo. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So we're going to break down. We're going to break down what this means, I think, just because I think it's fun, and I'm going to bring McKean on this journey with me.
Here we go.
So I thought was really interesting. So McKean had her chart wrong for a long time. If anyone's listened, we kind of did something similar to this in our toxic traits episode, but McKean thought she was a Gemini moon, And I never thought that was correct, nor did it sit well with my spirit.
That's so interesting, because all my friends say that. And I was just like, damn, it was like 3 years.
That's true. I think I love the Gemini rising for you, because I do think you kind of have like a lightness to you that I enjoy, and I enjoy hanging out with you. Okay, whatever. But I have a lot of friends who are Gemini suns, and I just... And because you're not gonna know what this means, I'm a Gemini Mercury and a Gemini Venus for anyone who's curious. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of, I think, the kind of wit that Geminis have, or the interest in conversation and like stimulating conversation,
I see.
Is a big Gemini trait.
Okay.
So I like that for your rising. But what I think is interesting, the Gemini moon didn't sit right with me, because I don't know, in the time that I've known McKean, I think there's the Capricorn, which I think is very much like work-oriented, girl boss, you know, McKean gets shit done. But there's a softy in there that I've learned about over these past 4 seasons. And I'm like, the Gemini moon, like, the, in terms of your internality being kind of this kind of, like, flighty, you know, thing. I'm like, it works for the rising, but for the moon,
it wasn't giving.
Mm. And I think because I'm also a Cancer sun, and for anyone who doesn't know, Cancers are notorious for being emotional and sensitive, which is why this is very relevant, I think, to the conversation we're going to be having. Why are you like, okay, like, I'm explaining this to you ahead of time.
No,
okay.
I'm hearing it again.
Yeah, but I think this is really... interesting, because Cancer sun, I'm a big sensitive softy, and for McKean's moon to also be in Cancer, I think we've connected on that. But the whole Cancer, like, kind of like nurturing, but kind of like, you know, being emotionally sensitive and like easily touched by things, or even like emotionally intelligent is a Cancer quality, which sometimes leads us to be manipulative emotionally, which is the flip turn of the Cancer. And I was like, I heard about the ghosting in the last episode, and I was like, perchance, the girl boss and the emotional Cancer could be
so
forming
funny.
A supervillain in McKean. But it's your turn. Give me your thoughts.
Okay, wait. Tell us, okay, your Cancer means you're emotional.
Yes. Oh, wait, should we break down my
about
chart too?
Me? Oh, my thoughts about myself. Okay.
Well, just anything you want to add to the conversation.
I mean, honestly, it all sounds accurate. I, like, wish I knew more to add more.
Yeah.
I do feel like I am someone who is, like... I have times where I am hyper girl boss in that, like, yay productivity, and then I have other times where I'm just like, I do cry easily, like I cry a lot, so that sounds like what
I also cry a lot, so
from everything, like, not as a bad thing, I cry all the time.
Yeah, that's fair. So anyway, that's
sounds accurate.
That's the conversation you're about to get into with these two sensitive cry babies as we navigate these emotions.
Yes. Okay, oh my god, so back to the episode. Let's just keep it moving. We have to get into the Read the Roster, y'all. And it's been a few weeks.
It's
so
been
we
a while.
A lot to recap.
And we're just gonna do rapid fire.
Yeah.
We're gonna go through.
Click,
there's
click.
Been music stuff, just some political, some Oscars, just everything we gotta talk about today. So, first things first, let's talk about Ketanji. Let's talk about our Supreme Court judge.
The Supreme.
Just Ketanji Brown Jackson has my heart. I just would die for her.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Honestly, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I always wondered, like, would there ever be a black woman on the Supreme Court? Because
it
really is crazy to think that there never has been, ever.
Exactly.
And, like, in the real whole scheme of things, there's only been a certain number of Negroes as well, in terms of, like, how they show up as judges. But anyways, I am happy for her. I know there's been a lot of debate about, like, what does this actually mean? And, like, I think there also is some sort of tiredness of celebrating these, like, milestones that look really good but don't really lead to change for people in their lives. So I feel
like
there. Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just like, okay.
Even Barack,
like,
Obama.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure in, I think, you know, being this representative for your race, especially within the political movement, when you are still surrounded by such a white majority.
Yeah, exactly.
And the pressure that puts on you to have to be such a force for change, or have to radically change everything because you have this position.
Right.
And that's hard, and that's a lot of pressure.
It is.
Even the process of her, like, trying to, like, get into this position, those videos, the stupid questions.
Right, and also
asking.
I saw a take that was, like, kind of like this, that was just like, why are we celebrating her ability to be strong in something that should not be? Like,
exactly.
In something that, what is her name? Amy Barrett, whatever, that was appointed by Trump last year, did not experience. And she deserved to.
She
didn't hold most of the, like, positions that previous Supreme Court justices did. And
at
so,
all.
Like, why are we, like, even on, like, across the aisle in terms of, like, the left celebrating this black woman for being so strong and, like, standing up to all of these, like,
heckling her.
It was just, like, it was frustrating. And, like, I really don't, I can't blame for some of the black women that I've seen on the internet that are, like, they're not happy about it, but they're just like, okay, like, celebrate for what? And also, not to mention, we have to tolerate those memes. You know, those graphics that people always make?
Oh, yeah,
the Freedom Fighter graphics.
I hate those.
someone made one with Ketanji, and in the sky, they had, like, a bunch of deceased people. Betty White was in there.
Not Betty.
What's his name?
Let her
marathon
rest in peace.
Marathon continues.
I don't know.
That's terrible.
The marathon continues.
From L.A.
Nipsey Hussle, yes.
Nipsey Hussle was in there. It was just some questionable, like, additions in the clouds.
Interesting.
In the ancestor clouds.
I didn't see that one. Actually, I'm very grateful it didn't show up on my timeline.
Yeah.
I feel like that tells me I'm following the right people, I think.
I guess I'm not.
Yeah, I agree. I wish her all the best. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that must have been.
Yeah.
I think there were some sweet moments as well. I think her crying and her husband and
her daughter
being there were very just sweet and touching, and I wish her all the best, and it will be a difficult position.
Yeah, we know what she's in for.
So wishing her lots of grace. Praise up.
Okay, on to the next.
We're going to go through this very quickly,
but
McKean was telling me about this, and I thought it was funny, and I wanted to talk about it. Let's talk about it. You got to go wrap
okay.
up. Tell us about
Paula Patton and her fried chicken. Paula Patton randomly posted this video of her making fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
There were many qualms with the video that people had. She didn't really wash the chicken thoroughly. She was, like, talking about how it was her mama's recipe. She didn't season the chicken before she fried it. Like, she seasoned it directly into the pan, so the oil ended up being, like, black. Because she didn't, like, roll it in the seasoning with the flour, you know? She just dipped it in flour. It was crazy.
Oh, Paula.
But anyways, people were, like, ripping her to shreds.
As
people were like, that's why Robin Thicke was crying. He was hungry. And also, like, when she cut the chicken open, it was, like, pink inside.
Aww.
But she did post the, like, redeeming part of it. She posted the sweetest response to it.
Aww.
She was like, damn, y'all, like, thank you for the constructive criticism. She also was like, I don't care. I'm in Mexico. Like, but then she also said that she made the chicken for her son in his class, and she did feed it to them, and I was like, somebody needs to check on the kids.
She said, respectfully,
I'm still gonna use this recipe, but, like, I'll try others, essentially.
That's fair. Or she can just do the recipe better, because I'm sure that's not what your mama was making.
No, she's a white mom.
She's doing her white mom's fried chicken recipe?
That's the problem.
I thought she was one of the superior light brights. I thought she was the black mom type. Tragic.
Anyway.
I have no more words. We're gonna move on. We're gonna leave that there. Let's talk about Chloe and Halle. Anyone who is new here, we are big stans of Chloe and Halle on this show. We love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna talk about Chloe's new song first. I think is where we should start
treat
off.
Treat me.
What do you think? What are the thoughts? Let's get into it.
I love the video. I think she's serving in terms of, like, she looks bad as fuck.
She does.
Like,
amazing.
She is constantly giving in terms of aesthetic. I love how the versatility of her locks, like, I think
that's
her styling
true.
Team.
Her and Halle,
yeah.
I think they both always pop
yeah.
out with looks.
It's
fuck
just like, where did the locks go?
Exactly.
How did you get them under that wig?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. So
it's
that
wonderful.
Was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The
and
song?
The
song? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the song.
Yeah.
The song. I think this is going to be, I think, a hot... It also doesn't have to be a hot take. I think it also could just be my personal opinion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Frame it that
Period.
Way.
Period, yes.
I'm...
That emotional intelligence.
Thank you. Look at me go. Cancer! But, I think... I personally am not that into mainstream pop and R&B that much. And I love Chloe and Halle. I've been listening to them since I was probably, like, 10 years old. And they were, like, 13 doing their videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I've known them for that long. And I think they have such beautiful voices. Which is why I'm so excited to see Halle in, like, The Little Mermaid. And I think a lot of their other songs, I think, showed off their vocal versatility a lot more. And I think, because I wasn't really that huge of a fan of what was the song that came before this?
Have Mercy.
Yeah. Either. I thought it was, like, catchy for the trend. And obviously, she looked bad as hell, obviously. But I think in terms of, I don't know, for me, like, I loved Ungodly Hour. Like, I loved their voices. I'm really a big fan of, I think, I Wonder If She Thinks of Me was one of my favorite songs because I just love their voices so much.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that I'm I don't think I'm getting the same, you know, insight into, like, the vocal capacity and, like, the beauty of their voices, or, like, of Chloe's voice in this song, like, upsets me, and it doesn't get the same.
Feel like the production value has gone... I just feel like that's my issue. Like, I'm fully fine with her going pop. I feel like there is room for pop, and I feel like there's a lane that has been lost in the popularizing of hip-hop for, like, where a pop artist is.
Yeah.
And Black girls have always done pop well.
Of course.
And so I'm excited to see, like, where she takes it. But I feel like what we were saying before this, like, in the same way that I feel about Normani's pop attempts, it's just, like, I need as much... Like, the visual can't carry it.
Exactly.
And I need the songs to be a little better.
Especially because with what you were saying about the production value, like, we were just, like, rewatching the video together before we started filming, and, like, I don't know what she's saying. Like, I have no conception after listening about what the song's really about. I just think she looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's wonderful, and I will still watch every music video that, like, Normani drops or that they drop, but in terms of streaming the song on its own... I don't think it has that value for me.
It's not
that
hitting.
Way.
Yeah.
It's not hitting. Or, like,
But I, like, I don't know. I really, I know she has it in her. So
of course.
I think she just is having to find it.
I think also, she's just, not that she's just getting started, but in terms of her solo career, like, it takes a while, I think, to find your sound, and we're going to keep supporting her as she continues her exploration. But,
Or,
like, even what you were saying about, like, the pop Black girls, like, I think your point about the lack of originality is something really... to be talked about, and that's why we like Doja Cat so much, because I think as a pop girly, she kind of experiments with her sound, and, like, no two of her songs sound the same. It feels a bit more.
No, I feel like the third single will be very interesting to see, like,
or even like a full project from her.
Yeah,
I'd be excited, because these are still just singles and, like, videos dropping.
We need the full concept.
So we're gonna withhold judgment, but we still love you,
Chloe. Come on,
Chloe. And Hallie, when is Little Mermaid coming out?
Love to see some solo Hallie work.
Some solo Hallie work. Also, do we want to even get into that? We're just gonna let this be the
room.
Yeah.
Okay. Next time.
Next. Moving swiftly along, the last thing we're going to talk about, there's a lot to unpack here. We're going to just go through the events. We all know what we're going to talk about. The Oscars, the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap, the outpour over the past couple weeks. We got to get into it all.
Yeah, but I think we won't be redundant. We're going to center Ms. Jada in our conversation today because I just have been baffled by the the insurgence of just, like, violence against her, and, like, people are going as far, and, like, not just people, but, like, major networks and, like, publications
just
are going as far as, like, pulling quotes from 10 years ago just, like, suggest that she's terrible, and the way that, like, Black men on Twitter have taken it and ran, she's the worst type of woman, she's the last woman you'd want to be around, like, she has all give, like, no get.
It's just so crazy. Like, even the red table talk or the scrutiny that's come under, or even thinking about when this happened, I think 2 days later, there was already a quote from Jada that she hadn't even said.
Yeah.
Or it turned out to be fake. Or
it's
fake
all
news.
These terrible, like, Shade Room-esque headlines that people will read and then
just
accept it.
Just share
value.
And run with, and then the hoteps are just like, like, she's not a good woman, or she's
not.
And I'm just like, even... the narrative that we're about to get into about, like, emotions and processing emotions, like, as far as I understand, I haven't seen that many episodes of Red Table Talk, and it's funny we're coming back to Jada since we're being nostalgic, because Red Table Talk was the first thing that we talked about, our first episode ever, but I haven't really, like, seen it much since then, other than the occasional clip, and I think, from what I understand, the space is for Jada, her daughter Willow, and her mom to have these conversations about Black womanhood, about their experiences, and to be able to reflect on them. And I think to pull,
like,
all these quotes,
emotional conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to have just quotes from these being taken out of context and put into the media and spiraling out of control, but also people providing so much commentary about these people's personal lives and experiences is, I think, just such a... reflection of the way that our society treats emotions or, like, emotional responses or
we haven't seen any quotes from Will's, like, memoir that he published last year in which he, like, talks about it.
Has he published a memoir?
Last year in 2021. So I just feel like it's also interesting, like, all of these accusations being made of Jada that Will has, like, explicitly spoken out against himself. Like, her being accused of cheating, like, her being accused of, like, doing all these things when it was, like, one, it was implied, if not said explicitly, that they both were, like, separated and, like, hooking up with other people.
Right.
Meanwhile, we don't, like, just because we didn't hear from Will's side piece, we, like, only direct that energy to Jada. We're, like... Yeah, I just think it's crazy.
It's just
crazy.
Very clearly so skewed, and I find it just so sexist, so like misogynistic.
People
and it's,
have been waiting for something to like pounce on Jada.
It's just
about.
So deeply transparent, though, because I'm like, we see how thinly veiled this is, just how much you hate women.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's not
black
thin at all. Like it's explicit that you hate black women, and even the outcry. We're not gonna get into the whole thing, but you know the fact that Jada. Was, you know, ridiculed on the public stage by a black man, but the next day, like, it's Jada's the fault? Like, Jada's at blame for Will's actions?
I literally saw a meme that was, like, yesterday I saw a meme that someone made, and it was, like, Jada from the Oscars, like, a picture of her on the carpet, and around her were all these words, and it was, like, manipulative, evil, cheater, hater, like, just all these bad words, and then it said bald. I just feel like we've really lost the plot line. We've lost what we should be talking about.
I agree.
We've lost what even caused all of this, and it's like sad that she, if anyone in this situation, because there's so many people that you could blame.
Exactly.
But her,
and she's just taking the full brunt of it, even more than Will is. Like, Will got banned from the Oscars for the next 10 years.
Which
is
crazy.
That is crazy. But it's also just like, oh, well. Like, all the public, like, scrutiny is still on her.
Yeah.
And
at least he can still be nominated.
Oh, he can?
Yeah.
Oh,
he just can't go. Which they've also done in the past for, like, they did for this white man that, like, never mind. Did something crazy.
Yeah. We have to get into the episode.
Yeah,
but thinking about this crazy world we live in, let's just talk about what it's like. Yeah, just dealing with our emotions and how we process everything around us. Let's start at the beginning, actually. How were you as a child, emotionally, growing up?
I was a shy kid. I've always been... I'm not shy anymore, but I've always been very observant. Like, I was definitely the girl to, like, sit and watch. And, like, people would be like, do you want to play? And I'd be like, not yet. Like, I'm watching.
That's fair. You had to, like, stoke out the scene,
see
if it was worth...
Exactly.
Being a part of.
Exactly. And then it would always be like, but in a weird way, is like I have so many moments where I would like, I just was definitely like reserved. I don't know. I just didn't always feel like immediately talk. But then once I was in it, I was the chattiest. Like, also I feel like with time that like I shed myself of the shy part of it, but I never shed myself of the like, let me see what's happening part of it and like take notes before I fully dive into something. So I feel like I've always been shielded in that way.
That's fair. That makes a lot of sense. I think I was similar. I don't know if I was necessarily shy or reserved either, but I think I was always younger than everyone else, and that made it a lot harder to connect with people. I think I've also just been very emotional. I think it showed up in different ways. It definitely made me quieter in my younger years, I think, but as I became older, I think it made me more outspoken, but I've always been much of a crybaby, I think.
Yeah.
Or I've always understood emotions very well, or in terms of being emotionally intelligent, I would observe people and I think I was very empathetic. Like, if I saw someone crying, especially when I was younger, I started crying immediately, and I had that type of response. But as I became older, I think the emotional intelligence kind of just became in the way that I chose to cultivate relationships with other people.
Do you feel like you were the same emotionally, like, at home as you were in, like, school environment?
Not at all. Which is why I really wanted to talk about childhood and upbringings, too, because I came from a household environment where emotions were not talked about really at all. My dad is emotionally unavailable in the way that most fathers are. It's not that I can't really talk to him about my emotions, but it's just kind of awkward when I do.
He
doesn't bring it up, so I just kind of want to keep it just kind of lighthearted when it comes to our kind of like bro-ish dynamic. And I think my mom and I've come to understand us as a lot more similar in a lot of ways, but I think she just has a lot of, like, generational trauma in the way that she grew up with, like, a single mom, who's my grandma, and they just didn't talk about feelings in their house, so she didn't talk to me about feelings in mine. So I think I've always been very emotional, but I was the sore thumb in my family as the emotional one, because my mom, her emotions really only came out as anger, mine came out as sadness, and my sadness was something that she didn't really know how to deal with, or something that made... they just frustrated her.
Yeah.
So I think that was tense in our dynamic. And then my brother and my dad, are both similar in that they're both just very emotionally just not there.
Yeah.
So I definitely, in my upbringing, I think, just had to cultivate that emotional intelligence on my own.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that was ever talked to me or something that was ever really brought up in my household. But it was something I think that came very naturally and intuitively.
Yeah.
And it was the only way that I could live because I felt so much.
Yeah.
And I had to find my own outlets for it.
Yeah. So what did you do?
It came recently. It was hard. I think the latter ends of high school, I came to value emotional intelligence more. I think I came to understand it more as a strength than as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
My sensitivity has just always been something that I've grappled with. Like the stereotypes of cancers being crybabies or being emotional, like, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cry very, very easily. I have to... There's this website called doesthedogdie.com, and people would, like, my family would make fun of me, like, growing up. Like, if a dog dies in a movie, I will start sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, my boyfriend and I have to, like, check the website before we watch a movie, because I'm like, I'll walk out the room, give me the timestamp, we'll pause.
That's crazy.
I'm just very much a crier, but it's something that I think can be seen as weakness, especially when I want to be taken seriously, and especially as a Black woman, I don't feel the same comfort navigating my emotions as openly as I think, honestly, a lot of white women or white men or a lot of other people can take up space in that way.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So,
that's
tough.
I can only imagine. I can relate a lot in that, like, for me, I don't always cry easily, but I cry eventually.
Yeah.
In that, like, I often try to power through feeling. Like, my parents always, like, I've been like this my whole life, and, like, things are just pent up, and then I'll just, like, sob.
Interesting.
For, like,
that does seem like a very Capricorn thing.
So I think that was, like, I mean, fortunately, I feel like, I don't know why I'm like this. No one ever told me to be this way, and I think it was great. I'm grateful that I had my parents to at least make sense of my cryingness for me.
Yeah.
And that both of my parents definitely, like, told me at different times growing up that, like, it's okay to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen my parents cry also, which I think was important eventually to know that it's like, okay, this is just, like, sometimes how you let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't mean that you, like, crying is the same as any other emotion, and, like, that they all have some sort of space in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now I'm able to sort of sense those things, and I'm still working on it. Like, I definitely still try to power through and then eventually, like, freak out and then I cry.
Let it out. That's
and
good.
Then, so I feel like those are things that I only know how to process because I was, like, told that it was okay.
That's
so
true.
I imagine that being really tough to not have those affirmations and, like, have to make sense of it yourself, because I still am confused sometimes, like, why am I crying right now, like, what is going on?
No, it's hard. And I think, to answer your question that I forgot to answer earlier about how I did this myself, the latter ends of high school were definitely a lot harder, but that's, like I was saying, when I began to see it as a strength. And then freshman and sophomore year was harder, I think, just because the big change as well of moving from high school to college made, you know, emotional navigation just harder, because there were so many new emotions and it was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Quarantine, I think, was what really helped me, because that was just a lot of time, I think, that I had to sit with myself and reflect. And I realized, I think, also in a lot of ways, how empty I had been living, because I had been so emotionally stunted, or at least not as connected with my emotional intelligence as I could have been, because I'd been
going through the motions
and not figuring out how to foster them. So that's when I got into journaling, I got into reflecting, and it's still a constant journey, obviously, and some emotions are easier than others, but now if I need to cry, I don't feel the need to hold it in anymore. And if I have an emotion, it's very important to me, because I've held my emotions in for so long, to put myself in environments where I feel comfortable expressing those emotions, or to assert that I have an emotion to express and not feel bad or ashamed about that. And I think it was, like, having that emotionally centered environment that made me prioritize emotional intelligence so much.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing and a curse, but I'm happy we turned it around.
Yeah.
There we go.
But
that's fair. What about, okay, so let's pivot a little bit more and talk about vulnerability, I think, a bit more specifically. What's your relationship to your vulnerability, or, like, expressing these emotions to other people?
Yeah, it's not great. I definitely think I have some things to work on. I think I'm able to express certain emotions, like, and I process my emotions in a very logical way, like, before I ever get to the point of expressing things to anyone, like, I've run it through my head, like, 20 times, I've thought about it from their perspective as much as I can manage to, and only then do I even feel like, okay, now I can, like, bring this up, and I don't know, I think people, I don't think it's so guarded in that, like, people have no idea when I feel a certain type of way about anything, like, I do think I show my emotions in, like,
do you think they show in your face?
I think in my face, and in, like, I can definitely be cold at times when something's on my mind, like, that's definitely fair. There are ways to detect it, especially when you know me.
Which emotions, then, do you, are the hardest for you to express?
Child, I feel like anger, because I actually am not an angry person often, and I really can only name a couple instances in my life where I felt angry. I more often feel like just hurt. Like, I don't normally have anger associated with my hurt. So I feel like the few times in which I did feel to be made angry about something, I didn't really know how to express it, and I still did it in the way that I know how, which is to, like, let me sit with this before I take it anywhere else, which is very much so something that my parents, like, did with me, and, like, my mom would tell me all the time, like, even when I did something wrong, like, you know what, I'm mad right now, like, we'll talk about it tomorrow. So I think that's very much so a habit that I inherited, but I don't know, angry, it's hard, it's a hard one. Anger's and hard, like, also just feeling like, I don't know, like, just things that you don't necessarily talk to people about in terms of, like, things that make you sad. Like, for my close friends, like, that's fine. But, like, I don't necessarily, like, sometimes I think I stop myself from talking about my emotions more, in that I'm just like, why? Like, what's the point? Like, everyone's going through something. Like, it's fine. Like, it's momentary.
That's fair. That makes a lot of sense. I think anger is also hard for me. I'm not a very angry person. The only person I think who brings anger out of me is my mom, which I find very ironic. There's just a way that I think family, especially mother-daughter relationships, can get under your skin that I think she's the only recipient of, like, anger or, like, yelling. Not much of a yeller, but when she starts yelling, I start yelling, and that's the type of dynamic. But in expressing my emotions in other forms, I find stress very difficult, especially being overwhelmed. To me, I think being overwhelmed feels like the culmination of almost too many emotions, or frustration feels like another gray area where it's like, oh, I'm angry and I'm sad because I'm angry, or, like, when there is some type of conflict, I find that difficult.
Real. I feel that.
Especially, I think, if it's something that I haven't figured out the solution to yet, I think I am a very hands-on, solution-oriented person, so I don't really enjoy presenting people with problems. Or, like, if it's something that I haven't figured through yet, but the emotions itself, sometimes I'm even, if I, even if I'm not resolved in my emotions, sometimes I think for anything other than sadness, I find it difficult to express. Like, frustration can be a difficult thing to communicate, especially if it's just kind of still jumbled in here.
No, I feel that. That part you said about, like, wanting to have an answer, like, I think that is reflected in my constant, like, feeling of there being a need to, like, for me to have it processed fully before I take it anywhere else. Like, which is not always, like, sometimes it, people, you owe it to people to process your emotions in real time with them. But also there are considerations you have to make about other people's emotional capacity in that too. Because it's like, I think what I was saying about, like, sometimes when I feel things and I, like, am like, what's the point in me expressing it to someone? It's like, okay, what am I going to gain from them? Like, I don't always feel the benefit in venting to others. And if I'm just like, I can just vent to myself and, like, talk through it.
That's fair. And I have a friend who's even said, she said that venting makes her feel worse, almost, or, well, this is kind of what we want to get into as well, because I think she has a certain degree of guilt about coming across as, like, overbearing or coming across as a burden when she presents her emotions, which I think is something that I've also struggled with a little bit as well, especially when you, like, are a very sensitive person and you have a lot of emotions. You don't really want your friends to feel like they have to coddle you or, like, coddle you for that, or I've even had my dad, like, tell me explicitly, like, when my mom said something that hurt my feelings and I started crying at the dinner table, he's like, I love you and you definitely are the most, like, sensitive person in this house, but you gotta buck up, you're like, you gotta be stronger, and I think that's also something that's hard to hear, especially as a young woman.
That's a lot.
Or that type of, I wouldn't even call it tone policing, but it seems silencing of, you know, emotions, and because of that, with trying to open up to others, but especially, I don't know, just not wanting to bring your problems to other people. Real.
No, that gets hard. I think as Black girls, we are socialized. Like, there's only so much room for our emotions. Like, I told that story before of, like, a high school counselor, like, crying to me and me having to console them. And I think about that often in that, like, I just think the dynamic also of, like, even when you are being made the victim of something, like, it's constantly on you to appease the feelings of other people as a Black woman. Like, in that we never have the opportunity to have been hurt by something. And I think in the context of Jada, like, that really rings true in that, like, there's no room for Jada's hurt in all of this discourse. Like, there is no room for her feelings and the harm that that joke might have caused her emotionally in this conversation. And, like, I think on a personal level, a lot of Black girls have stories like that. Yeah. Obviously less grand, but experiences in which there was nobody to check on them, you know, except themselves. And, like, whether that's at home, whether that's in the context of your home family, with your friends, like, with it, with elders, with people that are supposed to be your superiors in terms of, like, teachers.
It's hard. There's just no support system, or even thinking about expressions of emotion, especially anger, like we were talking about. I know there's a great, I don't know if it's an essay or if it's an excerpt, but Audre Lorde talked about anger or what it's like to be a Black woman and experience anger, especially in white environments. And I've had just so many instances here of expressing anger and frustration and being explicitly called aggressive and hostile, or being put into circumstances where this supposed, like, aggression or hostility or anger that I have to advance a cause is only valuable when it serves white people or especially other people, but especially white people, especially white men. That's the only time that that anger is valuable, and that's also just really hard in terms of navigating
or let alone, like, being accused of being angry or not thoughtful or aggressive, even when you're just biting your tongue.
Exactly.
Like, even, because it's like, that's also what's been a challenge for me, is it's like, okay, dang, if I'm already being perceived as XYZ sort of trait that I know is not true for me, and, like, I don't really care about that perception, but it's like, do I want to go through the work of, like, dang, what if I actually did say how I felt then? What? Like, if I'm already being perceived as the aggressor and I've been quiet this whole time, like, what happens if I dared to say anything? Yes.
And you feel like you're walking on eggshells all of the time, or we've had conversations, too, about what it's like to be shy as a Black girl, or to be introverted, and for that to be perceived as being standoffish and being rude. And I think that's what I was saying before about just not feeling like you have the same space to navigate your emotions, or what it's even like trying to take up emotional spaces in those environments, or what you were talking about with trying to appease people. There's also this pressure to educate people, especially if you are talking to, like, counselors or teachers or even, like, peers or partners who don't have that same relationship to your circumstances or understanding of your emotions. And if it is a certain circumstance, say, like, a microaggression happens and you're trying to explain that
while also expressing your, like, emotional harm done,
and that just can be a point of tension, especially if it is a situation where the point of focus should be the impact that it has on your emotions, and instead it becomes a situation about the microaggression and trying to explain that and why you almost feel like you need to validate the fact that you are hurt.
Right.
And that's not productive at all.
Which is why, like, more often than not, I feel like we just bite our tongues and keep it pushing. And it's not that we're prioritizing those people's feelings. It's more just like, do I feel like going through this?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't. It's, like, not worth it. Like, what is the outcome?
At all. I think with that in mind, and as we wrap up this conversation then, as you come into your understanding as it is now of your emotional intelligence, of your, like, sensitivity and expressing emotions as an adult, how important is it to you to cultivate or foster relationships with emotionally intelligent people, or to surround yourself in spaces where
And it's become important so much in the past, like, 2 years, because I've lost some friends at like attempts of sort of deepening our emotional connection. And to me, that's, like, crazy, but I think it's not every, I've come to accept that, like, not everyone is in the position to be honest about how they feel. And I can't teach someone to do that.
You can't. Right now. And you shouldn't have to.
And it's like, child, if you
I want that ability for everyone, mm-hmm. and I respect that everyone's gonna get there on their own timeline, but yeah. I also, it's now very much so a boundary for me that, yeah. like, it's like, dang, if I can't talk to you about how I feel, then, like, what are we talking about?
I agree. It's super important to me, too, and I think it's just so valuable, also, just to have that in your relationships mm-hmm. in terms of how, you know, you resolve conflicts or even having someone who is emotionally intelligent enough to understand how to interact with you or to take the time to understand how you work and to value those emotions and not yeah. make you feel like a burden. I think it's just such a beautiful thing that I've been able to foster recently, both in my, like, romantic relationship, but also in my friendships.
Yeah.
Just, like, an understanding also of just how this person wants to give love, how they want yeah. to receive love, but also just what, I don't know, what I think emotions are a foundational part of who we are.
Yeah.
And understanding our emotions is just such an important part of the human experience.
Yeah. But also the yeah. value of having other emotionally sort of, I don't know, insightful
mm-hmm. yeah.
people to some degree in your life is mm-hmm. important, because, like, no matter how we as individuals, no matter how emotionally, like, in tune we become,
mm-hmm.
there are going to be times when we aren't able to acknowledge our emotions in ourselves immediately. Yeah. And sometimes you need people to be like,
yeah.
girl, it's okay, but, like, you're hurt by this. Like, yeah. to call out those feelings for
you. Hold you accountable. Yeah. And check. Especially, I have a lot of situations with friends who feel the need to downplay their emotions. They're just like, oh, no, I'm fine. And I'm like, you're
right.
not.
Right. And, like, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't also need to be okay all the time,
right?
Yeah. Especially not in this space. Mm-hmm. It's safe. Like, it's safe here. It's, like, mm-hmm. not safe out there. You know what I mean?
And those are the friends we need. Yeah.
And those are the friends you need.
Yeah. Amen to that.
And period. I think just, yeah, for some final thoughts, a little something for the sensitive girlies. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in having your feelings or being sensitive.
Nope.
You can cry. It's Lauren and McKean approved. Yeah. You are still a strong black woman.
Tears.
We love you. We love your tears. And don't let anyone make you feel bad about it. It's
Amen.
A strength to feel, be able to feel everything
yeah.
so deeply. You feel the bad stuff, but the good stuff is also just as
yeah.
strong and
Amen.
Just as passionate. This is great. Maybe we can do a part two. I feel like all of our episodes always need a
yeah,
part two.
Yeah, always.
But that's why we'll have more seasons coming, so
yeah.
stay tuned.
Yeah, okay, to close, what is bringing us joy? Damn, I didn't think about this ahead this time.
Yeah. I'll go first. Okay. I have an event that has been culminating a lot of the environmental justice work that
oh,
I've been
yeah.
doing on campus.
Friday?
On Friday.
Yay.
It's in person from 1 to 4. It's going to be really fun.
Ooh.
I got Leah Thomas, intersectional environmentalist queen herself, to just come and give the keynote, which is going to be great because I tried to get her for the first panel
mm-hmm.
that I ever did, which was like 12 events ago.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't afford her honorarium
because
Columbia wouldn't give me money.
And now,
but I got all that funding and I brought her in. There's going to be a great
Yay.
Environmental justice in New York City panel focused on, like, all this gentrification that's going on and like community organizing, and then it'll end with, like, an arts and crafts mixer,
Yay.
Which is, like, food and drinks and just chatting and art supplies. So
that's
I'm very
amazing.
Excited for that.
I'm so excited for you. I
thank you. Thank
I
you.
Can't wait.
You have to register.
Okay, I was just about to ask, actually.
But,
okay,
but that'll
I
be
will.
Fine. You can
I
just
will.
Show up. It's
late.
Okay. No, no, no.
Oh, I was like, shit.
You also just probably show up,
no,
I think.
No,
I'm Oh, I'm fire.
What's bringing me joy this week? I'm going home. So honestly, I'm really excited about
that.
I miss my
fun.
Cousins. They're my besties. So it's also gonna be nice. My dog, I miss him.
That's sweet.
And yeah, also just starting to plan graduation is bringing me joy. Like,
that's
I'm
cute.
Taking my senior photos this week also.
Oh, that's lovely.
So excited about that.
That's
yeah.
sweet. Have you gotten any tickets for any events?
No.
No, I can't get a single one.
I don't even want to talk about
no,
it.
No, we won't talk
yeah.
about it. We won't talk about it. But tickets drop at 5 p.m. today.
I know. For everything.
For everything.
I'm never gonna get. Yeah.
That's fair. Well, that is all that we have for you guys today. Thank you so, so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I hope that you left a little bit more emotionally intelligent and affirmed. Yeah, stay tuned. We're dropping bi-weekly now, if you haven't noticed. So
yes.
we'll be not next Friday, but the following Friday, we'll be mm-hmm. back with another drop.
Perfect.
In the meantime, keep up with us on socials, on Instagram at BlackGirlBlueprint, on Twitter at BGirlBlueprint. And now
on TikTok at Black Girl Blueprints.
Period.
And also, if you like this episode, just don't forget to subscribe so you get notified when we drop. And you can leave us a review. Just
yeah, you might get something special.
You
might get,
we might
our love.
Our love is very special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Give
yeah.
us a little 5 stars, And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yes.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.